love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. It's pretty interesting how he just, that was stuck in there. Your neighbor, it wasn't just stuck in there. It flowed out from the Spirit. And your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, you have answered rightly. Do this and you will live. But he, wanting to justify himself with all of his pride as an educated person sometimes does, said to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Then Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among the thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, or was it chance, a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. I like to put, had compassion on him. And he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he sat him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The Lord's painting a picture for each of our hearts this morning, not only for our own lives, what he's done, but what he's asking us to do wherever we live. On the next day when he departed, he took 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper and said to him, take care of him, and whatever more you spend when I come again, I will repay you. So which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And he said, he who showed mercy on him. And then Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. Very interesting, very powerful little short story. Not many verses at all. 2 questions were asked. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? That is a question that each of us have a knowledge of the answer, how to receive it. But it's what we do with that question. And that has to be left to each of us. Have you been born again by the blood of the Lamb? But the other question that is posed is, who is your neighbor? Who is your neighbor? You know, the things that Jesus taught all the time he was teaching, going from either synagogue to synagogue or from village to village, or sometimes walking by the Sea of Galilee, different places, sometimes only picking one person to share the great news, is that he moves us from our sphere of our thinking. He has a way of doing that because he's a master. He's a wonderful counselor. He's Almighty God, everlasting Father, and he's the Prince of Peace. He has a way of moving us from the way we think and our thoughts over to thinking on truth, and we have to deal with the truth to let it penetrate ourselves so that we can assimilate truth in our lives to do the truth and to act on the truth. Not just to know it, but to act on the truth that God delivers. Things about life. Everybody here, we have our own aspects of what we think and how we think life should be, what things are in life, how we want our life to work. But you know something, friends? If you're not moving in the Spirit of God, what you think about life is really your own thought about life. Until you know the one who created life and who purposely gives life. He also moves us in our thoughts of what religion and our thoughts of how we respond to people that are different from us, that may look like us, that may look different from us, that may be from other nations that don't quite do things the way we do them here. So our response to them is whatever your response is. Do you treat them as your neighbor the way the Bible says to treat them as a neighbor? Interesting. The lawyer, a religious professional that we have here, stood up and begins to show off in front of all his people his great knowledge. He thinks of a question very quickly because he's a smart little cookie. I'm not sure how tall he was. I say smart little cookie. because his brain was pretty small compared to what's going to happen as we see as we go on in this chapter, in this story. But he stands up in front of this crowd and he begins to, you know, expound and to say things to catch the attention of, look at me. And who is this man? Let me see what he's made out of. But you know something, friends? I think we all know it. This professional person picked on the wrong person. He picked on Jesus, the author and the finisher of life, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the creator of all things, King of kings, Lord of lords. He picked on the wrong person. But Jesus didn't get the whip out and whoop him. He just gave him some nice replies that he had to consider with all of his fathead knowledge and understanding. He picked on Jesus. And how many times, friends, let me ask you this. How many times in your life have you picked on Jesus to what you thought was so important and what you thought was the answer to the things that you were going through or facing, or that what your career was, or that what you wanted to do, or what you thought other people should be doing? And when you picked on Jesus, he threw a whooper at you. He threw you a six, and you couldn't catch it because it was well and truly over your head. You had to stop and meditate on what he says. How many have gone and faced Jesus that way? Oh, come on, I'm not the only fool up here. My goodness. What do I do to inherit eternal life? It's not being a member of a church or a denomination. I love it when you go, and I've been there because we have more of a chance to actually hear things happen. When you we went to Bible college, so we had to leave our church in Niagara Falls, New York, and go to Springfield, Missouri, and we had to start all over to find a church that would suit us. And it's interesting to hear all the, you know, this church here and our denomination and da-da-da and da-da-da. And if you don't go to this church, you know, it's just something wrong with you, and we've got everything cooking here, and this is all good stuff. Is it? You know, you might be coming to this church and saying the same thing, but it's not about this church. It's not all about this church. It's about the Christ in this church. It's about the Christ in you. And what we allow him to do, and are allowing him to do, the changes that need to take place in our lives. We begin to see how all things work together. All things work together. That includes people that are different than us. That includes circumstances that sometimes we don't like, that are very difficult, that are all pushed together in our little box, and we have to stay in the box with all this stuff banging around with us. I'm trying to put everything together. Who knows what I'm talking about? Moms, dads, especially. So it's not a person who heads up the ministry. It's not being in the church band. It's not being the preacher. It's not being in leadership. It's not being a singer. It's nothing to do with any of that. What must I do to get into heaven and to live for eternity? Well, the first question is that Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And we have to answer that question. Have I made that commitment first to Jesus Christ? Have I made that commitment? Have you made that commitment to Jesus Christ? And that's a good question. Each of us must personally answer the question like this lawyer. Some of us may have a mind that we have been brought up in traditional churches. Again, I was brought up and for most of my life in a Baptist church, and then I went to an Assembly of God church, and then we went to Abundant Life, which we are now. And, you know, my loyalty is not to a denomination or a church body. It's to the Lord. But I work through the confines of some of these things because that's where most of the people are. And so I have to do that. But then he goes on. And this man says, you know, he starts talking about, you know, a neighbor. You know, who is our neighbor? Is it the person who lives next door, across the street? Is it the person who lives in our neighborhood? Is it the person that we bump up and see sometimes walking downtown somewhere, or maybe we go to Geelong to get away and or some other place and we see a person there? Is that our neighbor? Jesus shines some light on it. And what I'd like to do this morning is I want to share from a life that has been so touched by Jesus and has touched my life knowing who this person is and what has happened in his life, what could have happened in his life, what didn't happen in his life, but what did happen in his life. That's a lot of, but we'll get there. Let's get the 747 off the ground, all right? I'm going to do some reading, a fair bit. Some of the information that I've got here, some of it I've got memorized because it has really touched my heart in areas. And I hope and pray that the person that I'm going to share with you touches your heart to let us see and answer the question properly, who is my neighbor? And to know that one person can make a difference. Isn't that right? One person can make a difference. I got to say that for myself. One person made a difference in my life, and that was Pastor Black at Calvary Baptist Church when I was 12 years old, preached the gospel just before he was kicked out of the church, and I got saved. I got born again, and my whole life started evolving into something that God's plans were to evolve me into what we're doing today. It starts off this way. A young alcoholic mom put her 9-year-old boy in the front seat of a car with her and drove down the ghetto streets in Brooklyn, New York, dropped off her son on one of the streets and told him, "I'll pick you up a little later." Some hours passed, and as the young boy waited for his mom's return, night fell. No sign of her yet, and he stayed waiting overnight at that spot where he was dropped off. 2 more days passed as this 9-year-old boy waited on the curb. No sign, still no sign of his mom where she had dropped him off and said she would come back and pick him up. On that third day, a man driving his truck home saw this lonely boy sitting across the street. He stopped his truck and walked across the street, and full of compassion, he asked this boy one powerful question. Are you okay? Is that rocket science? Are you okay, son? Stuttering, the boy replied, "I'm not going to stutter. My mother's gone, and I'm hungry." That was his answer. That's the way this man found this child. 9 years old. Immediately, the man who was a pastor, he went and got his wife to come back with him to give this boy some food and some drink. Meanwhile, this pastor made some phone calls and within 5 hours had this 9-year-old boy on a van, a church van, paid $17.50, and that was in 1961, so that was a fair bit of money, got him going to his very first church camp in 5 hours. This young boy's name, you might know him, is Bill Wilson from Metro City, New York, and Brooklyn. That does something to me because I can picture stuff like this. I've been in Brooklyn before we moved here. We lived in New York City for about 4 months. I've been through all of the subways. I worked down in New York City, different places for various jobs, and knew the subways like the back of my hand. I couldn't do it today because it's just a big change. But I remember seeing so many people. A lot of them were like this young kid. Some of them were like this young kid. Something to note here, though, with this whole predicament is that this pastor had a son, and his son was dying of leukemia in the hospital. He had every legitimate reason not to do what he did. But he did it. Does that sort of blow away some fences that maybe have been put up in our lives? I don't have time for this. It's not my calling. I got to wait for the burning bush to, you know, get the call to do something. Oh, God. Help to slap our face, Holy Spirit, so that we can just have our eyes open to see the conditions of humanity that are out there. At this church, 9-year-old Bill Wilson heard the story of Jesus for the first time and got saved. I've seen this man preach at Frank Houston's, at Goulburn Street, long ago. I think it was Goulburn Street, the factory that he had. He's a goony-looking fella. He's had surgery to reconstruct a few things because he was sort of like a little bit deformed when he was born, this and that. He says, if you look at him now, he says, if you think this is bad, he says, you should have seen me when I was little. God love his heart. But he got saved because one man spent the money to send him to a Christian camp to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. All goes back to that old question, can one person make a difference? Yes, one person can make a difference. Who is that person in your life? Where were you when that person made that progression toward you to do something kind toward you that would once ultimately lead you to Jesus? Can you remember? Maybe it's never happened. Maybe it could be this church. Maybe it could be a person in this church that's done it now. And you're part and realizing that, yeah, I can relate to this story. You see, pastors in the church circles, pastors, they preach it. People who are Christians in the churches, they talk about it. They understand it. They know it. But most Christians, sadly, don't do anything about what this man did. It doesn't necessarily mean that we have to go looking for young boys and young girls on the street. You have to watch yourself today. Make sure that you're led of the Spirit. But isn't it miserable what Satan has done over the years to even cause the potential for that to take place today? It will take a definite leading of the Holy Spirit to do it. But they're out there. They're out there. And it's not just young children. They're teenagers. There are older people that are there that need God as well. Someone to intervene into their lives. Someone to see that, you know, they're sitting on across the street where the whole day, the whole night, for 2 and 3 nights, everybody's passing them by and nobody has taken an effort to go over and say, are you okay? Are you okay? Bill Wilson's mother was an alcoholic. It not only affected her life, the alcohol did, but it almost devastated at the beginning of Bill's life. It began to devastate Bill Wilson's life as a young boy. Bill Wilson says this. He says, you can take your past and feel sorry for yourself. Don't raise your hands, but how many people here have done that? Or you can call all the agencies available to you to help soothe your pain. They're there. Or surround your people who will sympathize and feel sorry for you all the time. Or, he says, you can flip that experience on the other end. And I know people in this church that have done it. You can flip that experience on the other end and face it head on and say, it was real what happened to me. It was painful what happened to me. It was tough what happened to me. But I refuse to be held hostage to it. There's got to come a time, friends, when no matter what we've gone through in past times, there's a growing up session. And this is one of the things that the gospel of Jesus, when he preached it, and it's still being preached today, Jesus hasn't changed. It causes people to begin to pull themselves upright and refuse to remain hostage to the past ways that they, where they came out of. And by God, you can only do it by the power of the Holy Spirit in you. Bill Wilson made that decision. He said it all had to do with choices and decisions that he made. He could have gone the other way. In fact, most people were telling him, you're going to end up just, he says this, you're going to end up just like your mother, a drunk. You're going to end up just like your mother, a waste. Imagine that ringing in your ears as a 9-year-old boy. Bill Wilson today is the pastor, not of one, but a pastor of the largest Sunday school church in the world. From that 9-year-old little boy that got saved at a camp because one man asked him a question and stuck his neck out. Are you okay? Are you okay? As a grown man, he does what he does with compassion. He does it with commitment all the time. And you know something, friends? If you think that you're going to do something for Jesus and you're going to allow your emotions to get in the way above commitment, you're going to fail. I tell you now from the one who's standing up, my emotions so many different times in our past of the things that we have been facing, my emotional structure could have depleted the whole thing, and the choices that I would have made would have been totally the wrong choices. But had it not been for the Holy Spirit, had it not been for the gospel, had it not been for people praying and loving and caring, we wouldn't be standing here today. We made some right choices under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And if you need to make some right choices, friends, today in your life, I want you to hear this. If you need to make some right choices today in your life, God is able to do it and help you through it. He'll cause you to make the right choice so that you're not held bondage or held captive to your past. Don't give in. Don't give in to your past. If you keep on looking at your past, you're going to have your past overtake your future. And you're going to waste a lot of time. In fact, you could waste your whole life looking in the rearview mirror when you've got someplace that you could really go, that you're on a forward progression to move on to. He drives his own, like this is wonderful. He drives his own school bus, one of many. He picks up kids from surrounding areas to bring them to Sunday school church, Metro City Church. If you ever want to Google it, I tell you what, friends, it's quite an eye-opener what he does. You know, with just Google. Bill Wilson also is the alcoholic who started AA, I think it was. So he'll also come up on when you Google in. So don't look for Bill Wilson, the ex-alcoholic. Look for Bill Wilson, the man who has the church, the pastor, Metro City Church. He picks up kids from different areas to bring them to Sunday school. Why? Because he says this, every child that I see myself in that child. And I don't want to have happen to them what happened to me. That's where the driver's compassion comes out. And it just pulls him off to do things. He said he never had a burning bush experience. That's a pretty nasty one for me, because when I hear people say, you know, I'm waiting for the burning bush and I'm waiting for this and I'm waiting for that. Friends, open your blazing eyes. And just take a look around you. Don't wait till you get somewhere. Start where you are. Have you ever taken a walk down the mall? Have you ever taken a walk down the side streets? Have you ever walked on the lake path? Have you ever walked around Wollongong? Just open your eyes, and why don't you start there? Have you ever been to Warawang? Have you ever been to other places? Oh, we can't go there. Oh, you sweet little clean thing, you. I'm just adding a few things here. One man changed the whole thing when he asked, "Are you okay?" Many years later, Bill Wilson took that same pastor, this is many years after now, and the pastor's name was Pastor Dave. He was much older now, and then he said he stood him on the corner. He took him in a car, and he put him on this corner, and he said, "I want you to just stand here," and he says, "I just want you to watch. I just want you to watch. Just watch." And as he waited for a few moments, suddenly Pastor Dave began to see all the buses start coming in from the different streets. I'm talking about a fleet of buses, friends, coming in from all the different streets from Brooklyn and other places, other suburbs, bringing these kids in to Sunday school church. Thousands, not hundreds, thousands and thousands of kids. There are almost, it might be over 20,000 kids now. I'm not sure what it is. And they've got hundreds of workers that are adults. But there are thousands and thousands of kids touched by one man and his life that was changed. Pastor Bill drives his own bus as one on that fleet. Bill Wilson, with tears rolling down his eyes, and I saw this, with tears rolling down his face, said to Pastor Dave, "It's all because of you, brother. It's all because of you." Someone found him. Someone found this abandoned boy whose mother, alcoholic mother, left him, who could have turned into anything else, could have done so many other things, but now is touching so many thousands upon thousands of lives, not only in New York City, but they've started other places that have taken on what he's done. Whether it's another country, they've used that, what he's done, as sort of a hanger, a cloak hanger, and put their own expression of how they want to do things to reach inner city kids or in neighborhoods. Bill Wilson, and I'll close with this, Bill Wilson said that there's once a year that he goes back to the very place where his mom dropped him off. And I was just thinking, God, I didn't have to go that route. We were always dropped off at home. But he goes back to that place once a year on Christmas Eve, every year up to this date. And he goes to that corner and he sits and spends the whole night thinking where he came from. He's been criticized by other people for doing that. But he realizes what God had done in his life. What people don't realize, though, is that the next day is Christmas Day. And you know what he does? He gets up and he goes to Pastor Dave's home and serves him and takes care of him because he's an older fella. The reverse has happened. There was one time that Bill was not able to take care of himself. This man did when he was younger. And now the roles are reversed. Who's your neighbor? Who are our neighbors in this neighborhood for our church? How many more people are out there just like this little boy? They might come in different packages. They may come in different looks. They may come in different races. They may come from different areas. They may come from different nations that have arrived here. I thought it was fairly interesting to find how this little boy answered the question when he says, "Are you okay? My mother's gone and I'm hungry. What would you do?" Well, you need to know Jesus. You need to, let me lay hands on you. Let me take you to church. Really? The love of Christ can be expressed in ways that you may not have an idea right now how to do it. But God will give you, under his guidance, the proper things to do, the proper things to say, to reach the lost, to reach the abandoned people. Do you mind me asking a question? You could raise your hand if you want to. You don't have to if you don't want to. But who here has come from an abandoned background? Can I see your hand? Lift them right up. Can we see your hands? God bless you. You made it. God bless you. You made it. God bless those who are coming yet. They're going to make it. Because we're a church that needs to start looking outside of the four walls and start figuring out ways. Friends, can I just close? And I forgot to click that thing, but that's all right. I'm done. Can we just be a church also that is a bit on the creative side? You know, we might have stuff that's already been in order and it's on the way and it's on the table and the agenda is there and things are being done in a particular way. But you know, it only took one man with one question looking around with his eyes to spot something, to spot someone. And it made a vast difference. Sometimes we can look at, well, we want to see all the fruit of what we're going to do and to put into this person. We want to see it right now. Well, that man, that Pastor Dave, never saw the fruits, all of it, what Bill Wilson did. But he saw it toward the end because he took the time to do something about a young fella. I wonder how much we could do for our neighborhood in coming up with ways to reach the lost for people. To find those who are really hurting. Sometimes people hide it very well too. They can hide it behind nice clothes or a good business. They can hide it behind their family. They can hide it behind their church. They can hide it so many different ways. And there are some people that cannot hide it because they're just out there plain, and I say this in the right way, naked who they are. And you can't miss them. Would you promise Jesus today, as we close this service this morning, would you promise the Lord Jesus today that what he did for you, that you'll take it and you'll start to do something for someone else, even if it's one person, even if it's one child, even if it's one teenager, even if it's one adult or young family, if it's an older person, would you promise Jesus that you'd start to walk your streets during the day and touch someone, no matter what office you may hold, whatever business you're in, whether you're in school or not, whatever hobbies you're in, to find someone to love into the kingdom? Would you stand with me this morning? Katie, can we sing that last song of the I Love You More? I Need You More. And I'm going to ask that, you know, I'm going to, if you need prayer this morning, we'll leave the altars open. But, you know, you stand where you are, and that's going to be, I want that to be between you and Jesus. Not just because it might be a nice sounding sermon this morning, friends, it's got to go past that. The challenge is there. Challenge is there. We got a person who's in New York City. He's just turned the devil's kingdom upside down because someone loved him. Imagine what you could do. Hallelujah.